Ladies and gentlemen, turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 15. We go on to the pearl of parables. Luke chapter 15, I want to read this whole parable. It'll take me a minute or two to do it. We'll start with verse 11. This is the parable of the prodigal son. Now, I'm gonna try to teach this without getting too excited here. I'm more of a preacher. Get to screaming. I can't help myself sometimes, you know. But I have to give you why Jesus said this. Really, this parable is consisting of three parables. If you go above verse 11, you'll see the parable of the lost coin and the lost sheep. And, of course, the prodigal son. So really, you could say it's one parable. It's dealing with the word loss. Now, who he's speaking to is the Pharisee, the Sadducee, and the Zealot, who are totally against Jesus, against anything he says, anything he represents, to the point not that they disagree with him, calloused, cold. And he's trying to break through that. Said, how many of you, if you had 100 sheep and one was gone, you'd leave the 99 to go get the one? Or the lady that swept the house because of the lost coin. It wasn't that the coin was of value in terms of denomination. What that coin was in those days, a woman wore a band of coins on her forehead. And it was the center coin, which meant authority and who she was. That's why you didn't want to lose that coin. It wasn't just because she dropped a dollar coin or a quarter or 50 cent piece. To show who she was. They were so cold and callous. And they judged everybody else but themselves. And you had to live by their law. But yet they could do what they want to do. But yet make everybody think they were living holy. So I want to set that up and then Luke chapter 15, verse 11. A certain man had two sons. Notice they were sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. If you're reading out the King James, notice the word them. He didn't just give the younger boy his money. He gave the elder boy, his brother, the same amount of money. Both of them got their inheritance right then and there. Keep reading with me. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country there and wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, we don't know what the definition of riotous living is. So we assume a lot of things. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine. Notice this. The famine don't come till you spend it all. Because as long as you got money, famine can't touch you. Did you see that? Because you got the ability to go somewhere and stop your famine. Notice this. Let me read that again. And he went and spent all, and there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Now notice he wasn't invited in verse 15 to this man. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. The man didn't invite him to come over. He just went and joined himself. He's broke, he's busted, he's disgusted. Where's all those friends that he bought drinks for? He went and joined himself. Notice what the man did. He sent him to the pig pen. That's the worst thing in the world you can do to a Jew. Is to put him around a bunch of hogs. Or an Arab. Oh, if you want a Muslim to flat freak out. Put some pork chop grease on them. They'll have a flaming fit. Because that's an unclean, nasty animal. Now, to a Cajun, we eat everything a hog. The only thing we don't eat is a squeal. We eat his skin, his feet, his lips, his brains. To a Gentile, Lord Jesus, that's the best cholesterol you ever eat in your life. He would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, verse 16. And no man gave unto him. So notice he didn't fit. He was honorable enough not to take the pig's food. He would have done it. But he figured since the guy gave him a job, at least he could be there. He didn't do it. So there are some honorable qualities on this young boy. Now, verse 17 is the most important statement in the parable. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He begins to remember. You see, in his mind, you might want to write this down, he figured he could live without the father. Even if you got a lot of money, you can't live without the father. Your money is not your security. Verse 18, he speaks to himself, and I have talked to myself. I've had some of the most wonderful conversations in my life with myself. I love to talk to an intelligent person once in a while. Verse 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, now he's rehearsing, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of your hired servants. Let me read it to you the way the church would read it. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to the father, I'm a no good, dirty dog, trash sinner from hell. I am no more worthy. Beat me, God. Just beat me, Lord. Oh, to be called your son. Oh, Lord. See, you're ready for punishment, but you're not ready for forgiveness. Write that down. Now let me go back to being normal. Verse 20. He arose and came to his father. Watch this. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, oh Lord, Father, I have sinned against heaven, oh God, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Notice the father didn't say a word to the boy. You don't argue with a fool. It confuses people. They don't know who the fool is. Don't argue with no fool. He starts talking to the servants, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And also bring the fatted calf, kill it. Let us eat and be merry. Verse 25, now we're at the doors of the church. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. And he heard men playing music and dancing. Was that in there, Ben? I don't know. Glory to God. And he called one of the servants and asked, what does this mean? And he said unto him, thy brother is come. Thy father had killed the calf because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry. And would not go in. Now, what's his problem? He's ready for punishment, but not for forgiveness. Church has got the problem. The heathen world's got the problem. God's got the answer. Oh, and this is going to be good. Y'all can see it. Can't you see this? Are you ready for punishment or are you ready for forgiveness? Ooh, Lord. He was angry, verse 28, would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and entreated him. Notice the father went to the younger son and also the elder son. The father's going to the world, and he's also going to the church. He's a good father. He answering and said to his father, notice how church people talk to God. Lo, these many years do I serve thee. Do you know how many times I have greeted some of these people in this church? And you ain't shook my hand. You know how many times I've given to this church? Neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. Or in other words, I'm a word person. I'm an obedient boy. Well, we certainly know that because you're saying it. And yet thou never gave me a calf. So he's always wanted something. That I might make merry with my friends. So what was he looking for? A party. There's one staring him in the eyes. He can hear the music and the dancing. And he's mad. You want a party? Fool, go inside. There's a party going on. But as soon as this thy son was come, stop. He didn't call him his brother. He don't like it, brother. Your son. Ooh, Jesus. Which has devoured thy living with harlot. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. That's the only evidence we got that he was messing around with harlots is the elder brother who don't like his brother. How do we know that's even true? Messing around with them whores. Maybe he had whores on his mind. I've had people tell me, Brother Jesse, before you were saved, you had a lot of groupies following you when you was playing music? I said, oh yeah, a lot of women. That's bad. Tell me about it. Oh, maybe all your life you've wondered, well, if I could just get around them kind of women. That's the only evidence that we have that this boy is messing around with harlots and coming from his brother who can't stand him. So could it be a lie? Ooh. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He's still looking at stuff. Notice the father. He said to them, son. He didn't say fool, idiot, dumb. He said, son, thou art ever with me. Watch this. All that I have is thine. You already got yours and you got mine too. You've had it all this time. Here's something.
How come God heals them sinners, but I don't ever seem to get healed myself?
You know, you had healing before you ever got sick. The guy that's lost as a goose in the fog, he just got sickness. And for the first time, he receives healing. You've always had healing, but you didn't recognize what you had. This man did not recognize what he had. So who's the worst off for it? It was meet that thou should be make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. I want to go back to that verse where he said he came to himself. The title of this message this morning is Dawn Never Comes Twice to Awaken a Person. The dawn came on this boy and he came to himself. But it never comes twice to awaken you. You see what I'm saying? You must be aware that you must wake up yourself and realize where you are, why you're there, and for what reason you're placed in this church or in this ministry or on this earth. For what reason? What is your destiny and what is your destination? Now write this down. This is a statement. Both these boys were good sons, but they were not good brothers. Write it down. They were good sons, but they were not good brothers. I've had people, criticize me royally because I like the Catholic people. He goes to Methodist churches. He go to Baptist churches. Yeah. Am I my brother's keeper? He's given to the Methodist. He's given to the Baptist. He's even given to the Catholic Church. Am I my brother's keeper? I didn't say I agree with everything my brother says, but he's still my brother. Now, all of us are good sons, but are we good brothers? I've had people come to this church and say, Brother Jesse, I've been coming to your church for quite a few years, but I'm a Catholic. I said, that's okay with me. Oh, I've had some people criticize me. I tell you one thing. Well, excuse me. How many people did you feed this week? The Catholic Church feed more people than any other charitable non-profit organization in the world. I ain't saying they do everything right, but neither does Covenant Church. Covenant Church don't do everything right. We don't do anything intentionally wrong. Sometimes we make mistakes. That's common sense. But we're sure not getting up and say, today we're going to make a mistake. I don't think Pastor Court would ever get up and say, I'm going to go in there in that service and I'm going to slap me somebody. No, he might have thought about it sometime, but I mean, he just wouldn't do it. Now, have you ever seen people just criticize people that spend their money? I know that boy spent all their money. Like as if it's a vice. You know, it's your money. You can spend what you want. Save what you want. Write this down. Reckless expenditure is not a New Testament vice. It's not a New Testament vice. Any more than saving money is a New Testament virtue. But we automatically think if somebody spent all that money, that's so stupid. No, it's not. Oh, I tell you what, God wouldn't have that. Excuse me. New Testament, I'm talking nothing about that. If you want to spend all your money, spend all your money. You want to save all your money, save all your money. It's not advice to spend it all or to save it all. But for some reason or another, most people think it is. You see? See, they've read the Bible, but hadn't studied to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I had a guy tell me this not too long ago. He said, I went to a lawyer and that guy charged me so much money. I said, he's the only one get you out, boy. Pay him. I said, if you went to the gas station, that guy can't help you at the gas station. See, you determine your wealth or your worth by what you're willing to do for others. I tell you one thing, I don't think that guy, that doctor charged that guy $60,000 to do that operation. What if he didn't do it, you'd have died. He's worth $60,000. Or if you think somebody else can do it, then there's a go down to the Winn-Dixie and get you one of them butchers. Now, I don't know how much a butcher makes, but I'm pretty sure a doctor makes more money than a butcher. I guarantee he can cut your chest open. And he won't faint because he used the blood. So you pay a person, their worth is determined by what they do for others. I only make minimum wage. Why? Because that's what you do for others. Nothing wrong with that. Be proud of that. Because the Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world not to be high-minded or looking down on people. Just because you got more possession, you shouldn't be looking down on someone. So reckless expenditure is not a New Testament vice any more than saving money. It's a New Testament virtue. Now notice something about this prodigal boy. Number one, the first son, he says, I can live without the father. The second son says, I don't like the way the father does business. Notice it's both accusations against the father, and he's the only one coming out to bless him. He's the only one reaching out to do something for him. But nobody knows what they have till they lose it. You see what I'm saying? Now, he went with the money, Sue. He messed up royally. Why? Why? He didn't know how to manage his freedom. Write it down. The Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. But you better know without a shadow of a doubt how to manage the freedom God has given you, or you heading for a pig pen. Write it down. It is through our freedom that God will correct the abuses of freedom. What did he say? I've had it with this freedom, man. I got to go back to my dad. It just made me a hired servant. I just can't be this free because I'll kill myself. I never forget when I was young, I wanted to be a man. I was 14 years old. I had one hair on my chest. And nobody could see it, so I put my mama mascara on it. True story. I ain't lying. It took me 14 years to grow that hair. And my daddy pulled it off my chest. And he had some brown stuff. What is this, boy? You ain't taking a bath? Oh, no, I didn't want to let him know I did. Got some of my mama mascara. I wanted to be a man. I became a man on the side of a road when I ran in the back of a woman's car. I wanted to be a man. I was almost 18. Dad, I want to be a man. Boy, you ain't a man. Boy, I want to be a man, daddy. Sure enough, I'm listening to music. You know, I'm listening to a little Led Zeppelin. Got a whole lot of love. Da-da-dum, da-da-dum. Oh, and I'm cooking in that car. And all of a sudden, bam, I hit the back of the car. Ooh, this woman come out, man. You hit my car. I say this. And she cussing me, and she don't like young people. She just cussing me. I thought, my God, what am I going to do? Man, I mean, I'm busting my radiator run. I mean, water blowing out all this. I tell you, I don't know why they give kids like you a driver's license. All kinds of that. I'm freaking out. And I see my dad coming. with my older brother Wayne in a car. I went, oh, God, thank you, Jesus. That's the first time I said thank you, Jesus. I was a heathen from hell, but I was thank God. Daddy's here. Father, he can handle this. And my daddy, man, the cars were stomping, and daddy rolled down the window. He said, Jesse, are you hurt? I said, no. He said, be a man. And he rolled the car, went in the back, and left me on the road with that woman chewing my butt out, buddy. I mean, eating my lunch. I became a man. Welcome to my world. And the cop looked at me and said, how you going to get this car off the road? Son, you're going to have to get a wrecker. I said, how much that cost? In those days, $25. $25! And I heard that. Be a man, son. Just be a man. See, I wanted to be a hired servant.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know how to manage my freedom. And yet through the abuses of my freedom, I learned that freedom ain't free. Those men out and women out there that are on the armed forces out there, whether you like them or not, let me tell you something. You're sitting in an air-conditioned building to this morning, my Lord, and they're protecting your freedom. Whether you believe for that wall, against that wall, and they are doing something for you. So write it down. It's through our freedom that God will correct the abuses of freedom. So he figured, I got to get away from this freedom. Just make me a hard servant. I'll go back to just working for you, man. I don't like this. See, because he thought he could live without the father. How many of your children have done the same thing? I can't wait till I get away from mama. I tell you, I don't want to live with my mom. Well, how come you bring your dirty clothes back for her to wash? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. How can't you wash your own dirty clothes? You dirty them. Now, what made that boy leave that wonderful scenario? Write this down. Beware of the opiate of where society lives. See, society tells you that you are being, what's the word I want to use? There's so much better out here than what you have. It is so powerful. In my notes, I called it an opiate. Beware of the opiate of where society lives. Yeah. Because I want to tell you something. Where they're going is going to cost you a lot of money. I just got to get in that nightclub. That nightclub is not going to let you in there without you spending money. They're there to suck from you. But yet it's so powerful because it appeals strictly to your flesh, or it makes you feel good. And he's thinking, I am in my father's house. Watch, he's totally safe. He's totally blessed. He got money coming out of his ears, but he just thinks that out there, there's something better. Beware of the opiate of where society lives. You know, when I got born again, I was so finished with the world. But I remember this as a small boy living in an 8-foot wide, 32 foot trailer, sleeping on the floor, me and my older brother. You call it a FEMA trailer now. Or a camper. That's what we had, Marty. We ain't nothing. But that's all. My mom and dad did the best they could. But I thought, if I can just get out of this hole. But I never forget, on that road out there, I just wanted to go put my feet under my daddy's table in that trailer. My opiate turned out to be pretty sour. You see, but when you begin to think there's something better than what your father has given you, you get self-centered. Write it down. The self-centered life is always indifferent to the claims of others. Go read verse 14 and tell you that. He's self-centered, see. I'm missing something. I thought if I could just get enough money, I would never miss anything. I remember as a boy, hearing mom and dad talk how they're going to pay the bills. Well, how are they going to buy food? To the point that I almost stopped eating. I remember when I was a small boy, maybe 6, 7 years old, you used to have a chain of hamburgers called Royal Castle Hamburgers. Anybody remember that? Remember the Royal Castle Hamburgers? They were 16 cents a piece. Remember that, anybody? I remember stopping to eat, but mama couldn't. She took these little hamburgers and gave it to me and my brother in the back seat. And Daddy had one, but she wasn't eating because she ran out of money. She bought, you know, they only were about that big. You know, remember that? And I remember in those days you didn't have a seat belt. You were free in your car. Your child could get up and just move around, all that kind of stuff. And I said, Mama, where are yours? Oh, sorry, son. I'm not hungry. And I realized they didn't have enough money to buy Mama a hamburger. But Mama was going to feed her kids. And I remember saying, I'm not eating this hamburger. Boy, you eat that hamburger, I'll beat you, boy. I said, well, get your belt, Mama. If you don't eat, I ain't eating. I've never forgotten that, and I'm 60 years old at the time of this preaching. I hate poverty. And yet she was willing to go hungry to feed me. And I thought, I'm not going to eat this hamburger, because if I do, I'm self-centered. I said, Mom, I'll give you half of mine. Boy, and there was tears in her eyes. I've never forgotten that. Never in my life. That's why I'm so against poverty, because it's a curse. It's a curse. You see what I'm saying? I guess that's why I buy so many dinners, Kathy. I don't know. I buy dinners. You know how many thousands and thousands of dollars I spend buying other people's meals. I mean, I walk into a hamburger place. Somebody in front of me. Go ahead and get what you want. Let me buy you some. Oh, you don't know who I am. Don't need to know. Because I remember that stinking 16-cent hamburger that Mama couldn't afford. I'm not going to believe in that stinking poverty devil from hell. You can if you want to. I'm not. You see? It's wonderful when you're able to be blessed. One time we went to eat at P.F. Chang's with Marty and Michelle, and we had Matt and everybody. There were a bunch of them there. And Marty was like, oh, yeah, just order all this. Order all this. There was so much food. It looked like a Christmas dinner. Remember that, Marty? We had that thing. And, boy, we were eating, boy. Oh, I mean, everybody just eating. And I thought, I didn't tell you this, but I thought about that. I said, boy, if my mama would have been here to eat like this. The only time we ever had something like that was Christmas. You had to save all year. It's called Christmas dinner. Remember that? Anybody? Yes. How many of y'all had those Christmas dinners like that? Did you ever take pictures of the food? Hold your hand up if you took pictures of the food. Put your hand out. Have you ever went and looked at the pictures? Why do you take pictures of the food? I've never been able to understand why people take pictures of food. Oh, you should have seen this turkey that we ate in 1952. Just don't make no sense. The self-centered life is always indifferent to the claims of others. Now, I'm going to mix the prodigal, the younger boy, with the elder boy. Write this down. Guard against discontent in any shape or form. What is hurting this elder brother, he's discontented. Guard against discontent in any shape or form. You can't lose with someone else's gain. If you see somebody blessed, don't get angry at them for it. You can't lose with their gain. So guard against discontent in any shape or form. You can't lose with someone else's gain. I get excited when I see somebody blessed that may have something I don't have. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I know somebody was able to get it. Instead of saying, I don't know why they got that. They don't need that. I don't see. Have you ever heard anybody say, I don't know why you need a house that big? But then why do you build one yourself? Why, when you go buy another house, you buy one bigger? You don't need another house that big. That's discontent. You think you losing because somebody got a bigger house than you or a nicer car or whatever. You can't lose with someone else's gain. Well, they owe me that. They don't owe you nothing. You the one that owes everybody. I've had people say this. I'll just tell you, Ron. Boy, you sure back around fortune. You have him. You know, his ministry might get bigger than yours. Okay. I don't want his ministry. I just want his muscles. but I'm not willing to do what he does. That takes some dedication to get them kind of muscles. In fact, we took him to TBN, and if y'all have seen it, and the singer is Craig Bradshaw. That's Terry Bradshaw's brother. He's a great football player. He walked up to Ron, he went like, how you doing now? I'm Craig Bradshaw. He goes, you take steroids? Come on. And Ron said, oh no, no, yeah, you take steroids. And he's just a joke, so he just have a lot of fun. But I mean, we had a great time. I want somebody to be blessed. You, all of you here, all you that are watching, ought to become wealthier than I am. I'm expecting my daughter, my son-in-law, and my granddaughter to be way wealthier than me. Why? Because if you cannot teach somebody to be better than you are, then you are not called to teach. Come on. You understand? Whether it's spiritual, physical, financial. My God. Don't you say, I want to bless my child more than what I had? It's not greed. It's growth. Now, what made this boy, the young, I'm going to flip back and forth, both of them. What made one so full of discontent and the other one thinking that opiate of society is better? Write this down. Temptation and corruption are the twins of sensual indulgence. Temptation and corruption, brother, are the twins of sensual indulgence. It's always somebody, it looks better. There was a woman named Irma Birnbach. She said, the grass is always greener over the septic tank. How many of y'all remember that? Remember Irma Birnbach? I think she passed away a few years ago. She was a great comedian, cook, house person. And I preached a sermon on that. The greener the grass, the greater deception. Because under that green grass, Lord Jesus, don't dig a hole. Temptation and corruption are the twins of sensual indulgence. You think you're losing something. That's what the devil's telling all these people. Man, I tell you what, you're in bondage down there. No, you set free. Your freedom is what's abusing you. I was asked on a worldwide television program, what do you think about drinking, Brother Jesse? I said, I believe in drinking. I drink a lot of water. No. I mean, well, what do you think about drinking? I said, first, sir, I don't look for scriptures in the Bible to appease my flesh. I look for scriptures in the Bible to crucify my flesh. You see what I'm saying? There are some things I can do. But because that's not sin. But brother, it's an opiate. And before you know it, drags you in a place where you shouldn't be. So the temptation produces corruption, which is sensual indulgence. Now, what was the difference between the younger son and the elder son? Notice that they were good sons, not good brothers. Both of them loved their dad. One was self-righteous and the other one was unrighteous. Write it down. Self-righteousness is as much a sin as unrighteousness. It may be worse. I've seen some self-righteous people in church that were worse than unrighteous. I've known some people that are some dog sinners, that are some of the nicest people I've met in my life. Then I know some people that just love the Lord with all their heart. I tell you, they would spit on, if you was on fire, they wouldn't spit on you to knock it out. They just want punishment instead of for forgiveness. Well, I'll tell you one thing, bless God, I don't think he should not be an usher. Or he shouldn't be this and that. Self-righteousness is as much a sin as unrighteousness. In fact, it may be worse. I just can't believe. Oh, you ready for this? I'm going to make somebody mad. I just cannot believe that Brother Jesse and Pastor Corey allow these girls to get up there with jeans on. The only time we're going to say something is if they don't wear any clothes. They ain't getting up there then. We're glad they got some clothes on. You understand what I'm saying? I'm glad they got some clothes. That's legalism. Look at the way they move. Oh, you got harlots on your mind. But none of these girls are that. See, self-righteousness is as much a sin as unrighteousness. In fact, it could be worse. You know what happened to me one time behind a pulpit, about ready to receive a pulpit? I'm preaching at this major church with 2,000 or 3,000, probably 3,000 people there. Kathy saw my face change colors. I'm sitting next to the pastor of this church. and their worship team. They had a worship. It was a husband and wife. Them people were great. Now, this man, he was the head worship leader, and his wife said, his wife was beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. Okay. Great. Nice and sweet people. I hadn't met them before service, right? They were so, Brother Jesse, it's such an honor to sing for you today. Is there any particular song you'd like? Oh no, just whatever the Lord leads you, that'd be fine, you know? I mean, and so I am sitting next to the pastor, and within 30 seconds, he's going to turn the pulpit over to me. He leans over to me, says, what do you think about my worship leader's wife? I said, she's a very nice lady. He said, well, ain't she beautiful? I said, yeah. He said, look at the figure. Now, that girl's worth going to hell over, isn't it? Am I telling the truth? Kathy goes, Kathy goes, something wrong. He has got lust in his life. I want to get up there and turn around and say, repent. You've been weighing up balances, you honky devil from hell, and been found wanting, you devil from hell. This woman is worshiping God. Somebody went out. Were you there? When I told Kathy, she went, you're not going back. You're not going back. I'm putting my foot down. Woo, mama, do your thing. You ain't going back. I said, yeah, I'm going back. Them people need me, especially him. And yet he get up, he's so self-righteous. Self-righteousness is as much a sin as unrighteousness. In fact, it could be worse. Problem with the elder son and the younger son, oh, that elder son's so self-righteous. Bless God, I'll tell you one thing. I've saved you. I've done. Oh, whoa, whoopee-doo. And yet, and all that stuff, write this down. There's a divine delicacy in the ways of God. He still loves both of them. There's a divine delicacy in the ways of God. God's disposition to all is love. And God's purpose for all is salvation, not superiority. You see, the higher we go in ministry, the lower we go to wash feet. That's what Jesus was saying. I'm a priest in 99. I could care less about the one. No, no. No, no, no. Yeah, but the one went off the side of a mountain. He ought to die. That's self-righteousness. He could have stayed, but no, but God said you leave the 99 to go get the one. There's a divine delicacy in the ways of God. God's disposition to all is love. And God's purpose for all is salvation, not superiority. And everything that we do. Everything. Yeah. I'm known a lot more than Ron Fortune. Not because I'm better. I just happen to be older than he is. Been out here longer. But it would be very wrong for me to say, now, Ron. And do you know, I've had some of the television networks write letters, and I couldn't believe that people that could get people on would say, look, I'll get you on, but you're going to have to give me $1,000. And, you know, we'll open up a door for you. I couldn't believe it. I went, what? So they said, you're not allowed to take money. And so I talked to the heads of those networks. They suggested that was a blanket letter to all people that host, to do all kinds of different goes out. That was not for you. We know you don't do that. I said, you really believe? Oh, we caught them. Look, I can get you on, but you're going to have to give me some money. I've been in services, Mike, that the pastor was charging $50 a service, $50 a seat for the front pew, because you might get a word of knowledge from Brother Jesse. Am I telling the truth? I'm telling you. And I didn't even know about it. And Roy Holton, who works for me, remember that Roy? Roy called him and said, well, Jesse ain't going like this. But it just ain't going like this. And I'm so glad he called. He said, man, they charging seats. Wow. So when I got up, I shocked that pastor so bad. I said, how many of y'all paid for this? Yeah. I said, give him his money back. Yeah. I mean, he was just flabbergasted. Am I telling the truth? Roy was there that night. I said, give the money back. Charging. But you know what? And all that stuff, God still loves that man. Making money on the anointing. Write this down. Well, first says, when he came to himself, title of the sermon is Dawn Never Comes Twice to Awaken a Man. Write this down. When you begin to feel the pinch, you begin to face the facts of life. Verse 17, we'll read it for you. When he began to feel the pinch, when he ran out of money, when daddy and father's no longer there to be a blessing to you, you begin to feel the pinch. Now, what made him go out? Adventure. Adventure is wonderful as long as it's controlled. See, when you feel the pinch, you begin to face the facts of life. Write this down. The Christian spirit is a spirit of adventure. Oh, glory to God. I love adventure. But we must treat traditions and customs with respect. Just because you're leaving, that doesn't mean what you came from was wrong. You must treat traditions and customs with respect. Only the fool despises the wisdom of the past. That's a fool that despises the wisdom of the past. Are y'all enjoying this morning? I know these are long things, but I just want to get this to you. The Christian spirit is a spirit of adventure. Come on, man. Let's do this. Yeah. But we must treat traditions and customs with respect. Why? Because only the fool despises the wisdom of the past. I've learned from those that have went before me. I don't throw it away and say, oh, they were just so behind. No. I respect traditions and customs. Yeah. Yes, I want to step out further. Yes. Oh, and I'm glad the younger boy, at least he had enough guts to walk out. He may have walked to the wrong place, but that elder son wouldn't do nothing. And just stayed there and caused strife amongst his father's servants and hate everything. And call him the no good piece of trash, the brother. Don't even call him his brother, your son. See, so one didn't know how to manage his freedom. The other one was so deep-seated in bitterness, and he had it all. When you begin to feel the pinch, you face the facts of life. Now, you notice what the boy said, Father, give me the portion. Notice that? Write this down. Instead of saying, Father, give me, we should be saying, Father, make me. Instead of saying, Father, give me, Father, make me what you want me to be. Because if you understand the Father, he's got one thing on his mind. Put a ring on his finger. A robe on his back. Keep him warm. Keep him blessed. Put good shoes on his feet. That wherever he goes, that a good man's footsteps are ordered by the Lord. He comes out to you, even if you've made mistakes. Ooh. So instead of saying, Father, give me, we should have said, Father, make me. Yet in all that time that the elder son is working for his father, he was so mad at what his father gave his younger brother, yet he got the same thing. And still didn't think he had anything, so he had his plus all his father's. Write it down. It takes the hard slap of necessity to change a spender into a producer. It takes the hard slap of necessity to change a spender into a producer. See, he began to want. So that slap of necessity changed him into a producer. Remember, it's no vice at all, biblically, to spend all your money or to save your money. Notice that decision is you and yours alone. But it takes the hard slap of necessity to change a spender into a producer. Now, let me close with this. Write this down. Beware of missing what is most needed. What did the elder boy want? A party. If the boy, the elder son would, wouldn't this have been a crowning achievement to this parable if the elder son would have went into the party? All he wanted was a party. But he refused to go in. Beware of missing what is most needed. Don't let jealousy bite you or offense stop you. I don't let jealousy bite me or offense. You cannot offend Jesse the Flash. I didn't say you couldn't hurt my feelings. You can hurt my feelings, but I'll never let it develop the offense. You see, don't beware of missing what is most needed. He wanted a party, man. I mean, Kenny, he wanted a party. And it's going on right there. But he wouldn't go in. It would have been such a crowning achievement if the elder brother would have said, I'm going to the party. And then you know what? Next week he said, I'm giving a party. Since my brother's back, I'm giving a party too. I want everybody to come. That's all he ever wanted. And he was right in front of him, but he couldn't accept it. Dawn never comes twice to awaken a man. A man asked me not too long ago, Brother Jesse, why do you preach so much? You wear yourself out. You wear your staff out. Yeah. Why? Well, I'm going to explain it this way, but the best way I can say this. I have fallen in love with the world, not the things of the world. The world. For God so loved the world. I finally understand that definition. I've fallen in love with it. Not the things of the world. That's the opiate of society. So I do push myself. I miss a lot of sleep. I miss a lot of things. And all the years this church has been open, I've been to what? Maybe two of the picnics. Two of the fall festivals, maybe two or three at the most, and all the years it's been there, gone somewhere, doing something. Why? Because I love the world. I understand the Father when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave. Oh, so I realize that my love for the world must make me a giver. That's why we never ask you to give something me and Kathy don't give. You see, not the things of the world. I'm finished with the things of the world. I could care less about that. Oh, but I look out there and I see that world. And I say, God, I got to be a good brother. So I preach in places that people don't like me. I take the criticism of people. People say things, I do things that I do not do. I do run a major ministry, and it takes a lot of discipline, dedication, commitment to do it. I can't talk to everybody. I'd like to. I'm going 90 to nothing, and yet the Lord commanded me to do 100 to nothing. I look at myself in the mirror, and I go, oh, Jesus, it can't get much whiter. It could fall off. That'd be the only way I would change color. I could dye it. But then I have to do it in 2 days. I'd look like them women in Winn-Dixie with them roots about that long hanging out the top of their head. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Is that the ugliest thing? Well, that's all I'm going to say about that. Getting a little too serious here. Got to watch ourselves. I can't hate you for the color of your skin. Oh, I could not do that. How come you're not prejudiced? I love the world. I mean, how come you get excited when you see somebody blessed? Yeah. Oh, because I'm not losing because somebody's gained. And yet I do hurt when things go wrong. I don't like it. There are choices made in the world. I had someone tell me the other day, you have a lot of family that works, so you're harder on them than you are on us. Yeah? I don't want to. I don't want to be hard on nobody. But you know what? I got all these eyes looking at me. Will he do that for them that he won't do for others? Even the IRS has told me, you do things across the board. Very few people in the world do that. Yeah. When I give a bonus, all get the same amount. Most people don't do that. It's called being fair. And I think sometimes Roy Holton, Mary Holton is my executive secretary. I would say of the whole secretarial pool, Mary is with the boss of the bosses. Yet I have to be very careful. Because I know what happens. She's so close to him, she can get anything she wants. They'll start there. Then they'll start saying, notice how close they are. So we have to be so careful. When Mary's a godly woman, I'm a godly man, and her husband could beat my brains out. I ain't stupid. He's twice the size of me. I ain't stupid. That don't cross my mind, but it crosses others. So of all the secretary pool, I got to be a little more distant with Mary than I am with Christine, who is Kathy's personal secretary. But Christine is family. So I got to kind of watch that. He hugged her, but he never hugs me. I get this. I guess if they're going to be some raises, I bet you they get it. So sometimes my family, like Ricky, who's my brother-in-law, my son-in-law is Eddie, who's the executive director. He goes to lunch. He's been to lunch with Corey and Angela. We ain't never been to lunch with him. So sometimes I miss some things that I really could do. But for your sake, I manage that freedom so that you won't think wrong with it. Paul said, I became all things to all people. You see what I'm saying? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I can have friends. At least I thought I could. You notice that some of his... Notice he only invites the one he likes on his plane. Well, I certainly ain't going to put nobody in my plane I can't stand. Jeez. I even had a government official said, you put your friends on your board. Yes. I'm certainly not going to put my enemies. I said, you a Democrat, aren't you? Well, yes. What, are you going to ask a Republican to take that job? No, I'm a party man. Whoa, wait. The other day we flew to TBN so Ron could have his debut. You should have seen Ron. He was a little nervous. And P was talking all. P was doing all the talking. I thought, Ron gonna be all right, Ryan. I could see Ron going, just wish that woman would shut up, man. So I can hear God here. You know? So I invited Kenny and Nicole because Kenny and Nicole are on Ron Fortune's board. So I thought, it's pretty nice. Have his board members come for his TV debut. I didn't have to do that. I didn't even have to bring him. In other words, the opening's there. You get up there. But I did. And Kenny is a state trooper that wants to fly. You should have seen Kenny. Can I get up? I said, this is JDM Airlines, son. You can walk. Oh, I don't have to wait. But that's it. No, do what you want. Well, Kenny was up in the front. And Nicole said, Kenny is just having such a wonderful time. Kenny went up there, whoa, watching. And all of a sudden, Nicole says, I've never seen it. Can I go up there, Brother Jesse, and just sit in that jump seat? I said, yeah, Nicole, go ahead. They couldn't get over. I am the CEO, and yet I served them, did I? Oh, no, let us serve you. No, I'm going to bless you. So I served them food. I said, what do you want to eat? There's a menu. Get what you want. Nicole, I'm just going to eat a salad. I knew the woman wanted fried chicken. I knew that. So I leaned over to Dave and I said, go get a bucket of chicken for Nicole. She liked fried chicken. You should have seen Nicole. I'm going to eat my salad. I said, oh, fried chicken. Well, since the Bible says eat was set before you. No, she would say that. It was great. I served them. They didn't ask me to serve them. But Friday night, I decided to go with Kathy and Carmen. Gave her the menu. Carmen's so kind, she says, can I have a steak? You can have anything you want. We'll get a whole bull on this planet. You want to get a cow? I don't care. Yes, you can have a steak. Now, Kathy was preaching, so in her mind, she's the CEO. So she walks on the plane. She says, serve me. I look it up. I said, yes, dear. Yes, dear. Serve me and Carmen, Jesse. I said, yes, ma'am. I served them, got their food, put the things out, and all this kind of stuff. Is there anything else? I watch them eat. Put this in the garbage. Yes, I will put that in the garbage over here. Put that in the garbage over there. I said, is there anything else? You know you're tired. You ought to sleep. I'm what? I've been serving you on this plate. They had a wonderful time. I thought, this is something, isn't it? And there's David the Lord. She goes, boss, I'll go back there and help him. No, fly the plane. Fly the plane. Wouldn't that be something if we'd have crashed? Pilot went back to give a woman a piece of fried chicken and died. No, fly the plane. Dealing with servanthood. I said, Kathy, anything else you'd like to have? Oh, I want this. I said, you want some ice? Oh, yeah, I want ice in this. Give me some pineapple juice and put some Pellegrino inside of it. Oh, yes, dear. Anything else? I didn't feel like I was made less. Actually, it was an honor. An honor to be a servant. Honor to be a blessing. Why? Because I'm a good son. And I'm also a good brother. Did you enjoy it this morning? Give the Lord a big God bless you. Woo, glory. Come on, give him a great God bless you.